I'm going to be in Philippians chapter 4 today. Philippians chapter 4. I appreciate you enduring through all the announcements. We had a lot of them today. And so Philippians chapter 4. Michael, do we have those messages?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Why don't you come on up there with those, because I'll forget if I don't do it now. Is that's all of them, including the ones you gave me yesterday? Yes?
No. Heather was doing it. I could go after
her. Okay. Why don't you bring it on up here?
No, you're missing
something.
Okay.
Okay. What I want to do, we have a message I wanted to give out before we stay up here for a sec. Good, Michael? All right. Sam, can you come up here and help me also? I'm going to recruit you since you're here. I want to give every family who wants one of these, it's a sermon in its MP3 format. So if you have a newer CD player, it'll play it. Travis, can you help us also? And then Peter, can you help me also? This is a sermon. It's one of my favorite sermons that I've ever heard. It impacted me the most. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit and about prayer. And I wanted each one of you to have this message. Every one for a family. I hope we have enough. If you want, no, only take one if you listen to it. But it's a very powerful sermon. If you'll listen to it, it's MP3 format, so you can play it on your computer or a newer CD player. It should say this kind on it. And it's a message that really impacted me about prayer. If you're not going to listen to it, I don't know if we have enough for everybody. So if you're not going to listen to it, don't take it. But it is the message, probably in my life, the message impacted me more than any other message I ever heard. And it's free. You don't have to give us anything for it. We just want you to listen to it this week, because I think we need the power of God. And I want all of our regulars and people who will listen to it to listen to it. All right? We have more. Anybody else need them? We got plenty. Okay. All right. Okay. Why don't we put these on the back table then? Okay. All right. If you need one of these, or you might listen to it, I want to make sure everybody was going to. I really want you to listen to it. It's hard preaching, but that's okay. And so it's good for you. And it's a really, really important message. So, and I think if we can live that message, I think we can change the world. Philippians chapter 4. Last week I preached a very deep message on the interaction of sovereignty and free will. If you didn't hear that message, you ought to. It's a very important message. And anytime you want a message, we give them to you free. Just go ask people in the back, and they will write it down and get you a copy next week. But this week won't be as deep as last week's, but important nonetheless. And this week's message is just pray about it. Just pray about it. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my dearly beloved, and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and other of my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Clement, by the way, you can read his writings. He lived a while after this and wrote, and you can read Clement's writings. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Let's pray, and we'll talk about just praying about it. Father, thank you for the chance to teach your word. I pray that it would be, though limited in time, powerful, Father, And we would get this place, Lord, that I find always myself wandering back away from. And I find it so simple and yet so under attack that we don't seem to do it consistently. Lord, help us now and speak to us and do a great work now, we ask. And bless this service, Lord, in a powerful way. And each person, Lord, give them what they need. Give me what I need. Lord, may the Spirit of God work powerfully through the Word now. Teach us, convict us, help us, and encourage us, and help us to be drawn to decisions to do something differently so we can have that peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage, we start off with just a few points here. First of all, he tells them how proud he is of them. And of all the books that Paul writes, this Philippians church was just a great church, and he really is proud of them and all that they did. And he mentions that to them in verse 1. He said, my dearly beloved and longed for. I long for you. I love you. And my joy and crown. And he says, you're my trophies. And I want to say that. One of the great joys of your life, if you live a significant life, will not be yourself. It'll be the people you've impacted that are good. And by the way, I think it'll be more importantly, it'll be eternal impacts. It won't be necessarily my kid ran the fastest 100 meters or became an NBA player or anything like that. I think when you watch you people you've influenced, whether your own children, whether you're people in church, you win somebody to Christ, you disciple somebody, you help somebody be delivered from the power of sin and Satan or bondage or addiction, and they are serving God and they're happy and doing well. The Bible says in 3 John verse 9, it says, I have no greater joy than to see my children walk in truth. And you might think that if you only got this much money or got this housing situation or this job or this whatever, you'd be happy. But you will have no greater joy than impacting a life. When your kids, and by the way, the Bible teaches us that your kids will either be your greatest joy or your greatest heartbreak when they get older. You'll either have no rest or no greater joy watching your kids. And when your kids do well and were raised upright, and by the way, you live the way you want them to live later. Because if you think you're just going to tell them, don't do what I do, and it's going to work, yeah, right. You haven't been watching very much how good that works. It won't work. Or when you impact somebody and somebody is addicted or suicidal or brokenhearted or empty, and you're able to bring them to Christ and help them get their life fixed, there's no greater joy than to have an impact on lives. He says, you're my joy and my crown. And so stand fast in the Lord, my dear beloved. First of all, I'm proud of you and I love you so much. Secondly, he says, I want you to stand fast. Don't move. Stay on the straight. Stay on the right. Do the right thing. And can I say this? In your life, one of the most important things you'll do is not necessarily walk perfectly, but stay on the right path. Do your best, but when you fall, you get back up again. You keep going to church, and you keep going to church, even when you're struggling, when you don't feel like going to church, when you have a bad week, you keep on reading your Bible, you keep on praying. Stand fast. Don't move. The devil's going to give you good reasons to move in life. To get out of church, to quit praying, there's going to be good reasons. And you've got to stand fast and not move. Then he says, work together. I beseech Eudeus, and I beseech Synthinche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Don't fight. Get over it. I wish everybody could have heard the Sunday school lesson. Suffer yourself to be defrauded. Be ripped off. It's more important that you have peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the sons of God. And you can't always live peaceably with everybody. The Bible says that. Jesus couldn't, but you can live peaceably with a whole bunch of people. And it just be the same mind. Think the same way. And thank God for a church like ours that doesn't have conflict, doesn't have fights, doesn't have those things. Thank God for that. And then he says, let your moderation be known. Verse 3, and I entreat thee, my true yoke fellow, help those which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and other of my fellow laborers whose names in the book of life. That's working together and helping each other. And we see that. And then in verse 5, he says, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. I want to focus just for a second on moderation. Moderation means self-control or limits. I want to encourage you a little bit because some of you are fresh out of the world. Some of you still have a lot of people who try to get you to be drawn into bad things. And some of you still have a lot of temptation. I want to say this. When you let your moderation or your self-control be known to all men. In other words, let everybody know your borders, your convictions, your standards. You know what's wonderful about my life? Nobody tries to hand me a beer anymore. Nobody tries to hand me weed anymore. Nobody tries. People, when they cuss around me, you say, oh, sorry. And you know what's nice about that? is, there's always nasty people, I understand. There's a few of those who do stuff on purpose, but you don't get around those much, and that's not what we're talking about. There's just, when you stand, when you do right, when people know where you stand, they just don't ask you anymore. You know, after a while, my boss quit asking me to work on Sunday. he might as well have asked the Pacific Ocean not to make waves anymore. I mean, it was a waste of time. And he quit asking me to work on Sunday. He knew my stand. He knew I'd get another job. When you let your convictions, your moderation, you'll do real well to let your neighbors know. Witness to them. Let them know you're a Christian. Be proud of it. And you know what? You'll avoid them a lot. You'll avoid a lot of bad things. And eventually, they don't ask you to do that stuff anymore. Because, boy, when that's first saying, people are always coming to me and offering me the stuff I was trying to not do. And let your moderation be known to all men. I think it's good to take a stand. And by the way, I want you to understand this. Once you take that stand, if you compromise it, you will forever with that person have to fight that stand. You lost it. Once you take that stand and don't give in on it, eventually they'll stop. But if you compromise it once, then you got to argue with them. Oh, you said you'd never do that again, but you did it last time. Come on, go ahead. Yeah, I know you're going to do it anyway. And then they'll keep trying to do it. Be consistent. And you know what? I'd rather lose a friend than sin against my Savior. I would rather lose a family member than sin against my Savior. That's biblical. Jesus said that. I don't want to lose a friend or a family member, but there's nothing more important than pleasing Jesus. And you need to take a stand. You need to say, I don't do this. You need to let your moderation be known. Verse 4 is a great verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Notice it says what you rejoice in. It's rejoice in the Lord. There's a lot of times your circumstances will not allow you to rejoice in your circumstances. Amen? There's a lot of times in life you can't say, it is so awesome I'm getting evicted. No, you don't do that. I'm so glad I have cancer. This is awesome. Sometimes people misunderstand the Bible. The Bible doesn't say do that. You are loony. Okay? It doesn't make sense. You don't rejoice that terrible things happen. You rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says that everything give thanks. It does. It doesn't say for everything give thanks. It says in everything give thanks. In the process of anything happening, you're always thankful. You rejoice in the Lord. Can I tell you? It doesn't matter if I get in a crash on the way home today and I'm seriously injured. Do you know I'm still going to heaven? You know God still loves me? Did you know I still have a best friend and a heavenly Father? I can rejoice in the Lord always. I can't always rejoice in my circumstance, but I can rejoice in the Lord always. And it says you do it always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So we see these things leading up to where we want to get to. Not a lot of people rejoice all the time, but I want you to do that. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Have joy about things. Rejoice. Same joy over and over again and do that. And then we're just going to get some principles of prayer and peace. And that's where I want to focus the whole message today is principles of prayer and peace, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. First of all, verse 6, don't worry. Don't worry, it says. It says be careful. The word careful there, it's actually the way the word used to be used is careful, full of care. The word means worry. Don't be full of worry or care about anything. Bible commands us right there. It's amazing. Be careful in nothing. Nothing. Don't worry about anything. It doesn't help. Let me take it another passage and read. Let me read you out of Matthew chapter 6. It really, really focuses on this. Matthew 6 does. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. It's not possible not to worry about things. You got to worry about things. I promise you, you can live a life where you don't worry. Well, you mean you won't have anything to worry about? Oh, you're always going to have something to worry about. You haven't figured that out yet? There's always something to worry about. There's always something to worry about. If you're waiting for that smooth sailing where life is just, you know, ease and comfort where nothing ever to worry about, no more problems. Are you on earth? Do you not? There's always, just when you get life together, your body starts falling apart. There's always something to worry about. There's always something to worry about if you want to worry. And by the way, it doesn't matter your circumstance. And here's the biggest thing about worry. It doesn't help. Can I get that through? I want to get that through to you. Worrying doesn't help. It doesn't do anything different. It says in Matthew chapter 6 here, Jesus kind of laughs at them and says, why do you guys worry about everything? Verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment, for clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil not. But even Solomon wasn't arrayed like them, and they're not worried about anything. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Verse 27, but which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? You know what that verse says? Which you by worrying can make yourself any taller? And why do you take thought for tomorrow? Tomorrow has enough problems. It's not going to do you any good. Let me just explain to you. If I worried about how tall I was, and I wish I wasn't 5'8", worried about it. Oh, I wish I was taller. Am I going to become 5'9"? If I worried. Okay, ready? I've done this exercise before, but let's practice. Ready? Inside of my wallet here, I have all white and no green. Okay? You ever been in that situation? All you have is receipts. If only receipts were worth money. All right. So, it's the 30th today. Oh, no. We're all like this, aren't we? And here we go. We're looking at... Now, here, I want you to help me now. We are going to do a unified mind worry with all of our strength. And I want you with me to worry about my money. And what we're going to do is it's going to help us a whole bunch. Ready? On the count of three, worry really hard towards my wallet. Ready? You must not be worrying or it must not be working. It doesn't fix anything. If you sit here and worry about your high blood pressure, okay, it doesn't help. Worrying is the biggest waste of time. Now, I'm big on action. Somebody worries about their weight. Go lose weight. Worrying's not going to help. You're worrying about your car problem. Okay, worrying. I wish worrying would fix my alternator. And you know, if you turn the radio up and don't worry about it, did you know it still has a problem with your car? Worrying doesn't fix a thing. The Bible says don't worry. It says take no thought of the morrow. The morrow shall take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know what the Bible says? There's enough problems in tomorrow. Why bring tomorrow's problems into today? Doesn't today have enough problems? If you don't have a solution, and this is the hardest thing to teach people, if you don't have a solution for it, don't worry about it, the Bible says. Because worrying, now, planning's fine. The Bible says Proverbs 8, consider the ants. They go out in the summer and prepare for winter. No, they're not preparing. I have no problem with that. If you prepare for retirement, you don't need to worry about retirement. Actions are good and actions are important. All those things. But worrying doesn't do you any good. Being full of... All it does is stress you out. And stress is very bad for your body. Your digestion quits working. A bunch of things happen. Your body basically doesn't understand the difference between different types of worry. Understand, your body, when you get worried, does not know if you can't pay your bill this month or if you're running from a lion. So what it does, your breathing becomes more shallow and you start breathing more shallow. Your heart starts changing its rate it beats and your stomach quits digesting to save the energy to fly. That's what happens when you worry. It's terrible for your health. So why worry? Sometimes I'll just see somebody stressed out and I'll look and I'll say, take a deep breath. You're... You're hunched over. You're shallow breathing. Take a breath. Not breathing is not going to help. Be careful for nothing. You don't know what to do about that person. You don't know about the situation. Don't worry about it. You pray about it. And then you don't worry about it anymore. It will not help you, your finances, to worry about them. I came here many years ago and I started the church. I said, Lord, I can deal with most any kind of pressure and stress. It doesn't bother me. I deal well with it, but I don't deal with financial stress very good. And I said, Lord, if you'll take care of my finances, I won't worry about them anymore. And God just gave me peace. He said, okay, we'll do that. And I came here, and I have not worried about finances for 15 years. If you knew the situations I was in, you would think I should have worried. But I didn't. Why? Because it didn't give me any more money. If it did, I might. But it didn't do me any good. Why worry? Bible says here that you can't add one cubit to your stature by worrying about how tall you are. And it doesn't do you any good at all. Philippians chapter 4 again. Quit worrying. It doesn't do anything to bring tomorrow's problems into today. You have enough problems from today. Why would you bring tomorrow's problems there too? God never gives grace for tomorrow. He'll give you grace to make it through today. Most people get discouraged and don't think they can make it because they're bringing tomorrow's worries, which God has not worked out yet, into today. And now they're overwhelmed with 2 days' problems, but God gives grace for 1 day's problems. If you live today properly, God will take care of your tomorrows. But if you bring tomorrow's problems into today, you will be overwhelmed. So take care of today and do a real good job today. What do I do today? You go to church on Sunday morning. You're doing great. If God speaks to you, you do what God speaks. You come back tonight at 6 p.m. You go and you spend some time with your family and be a good family member. And any responsibilities you have, take care of them. And you know what? Tomorrow will be fine. And when you get there, God will meet you there with all the grace and help you need. But you got to take care of one day at a time. Do not worry about anything. Number one, don't worry. Number two, prayer and supplicate about everything. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It separates prayer and supplication, and it does many times in the Bible. I had to look it up and look into it. The word prayer is different from supplication. They're two different words in the Greek. Prosyokoi is the word prayer, which means to pray and worship. It's the complete word for the whole prayer life. It's praise and worship and time with God and fellowshipping with God and asking. It's the whole thing in prayer. But supplication is begging. Supplication is asking and asking and asking and asking. And it's a petition. It's asking by begging. Deisisi is the word in the Greek. And so it's a different Greek word, and it means to ask God for something. So spend time with God and praise and worship and do all those things. Worship is involved in the word for prayer, but also ask God for things specifically. I want to say this. One of the things God says, I want you to, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God in everything, it says. There's nothing too small that you don't need to pray about. There's nothing too insignificant. And so the Bible says pray without ceasing because you pray about everything. In other words, be careful for nothing, but instead of worrying about it, pray about it. Many people think they prayed about it, but actually they worried about it to God. They didn't ask for anything. Oh, this is what's happened to me. That wasn't a prayer. You didn't ask for anything. I'm sarcastic sometimes. Somebody says, do you know what time it is? And I say, yes. And they look at me. I look at them. Well, yes, I know what time it is. I do that. Why? Just because I'm an irritating person. And they say, can you tell me? I say, yes, it's 9:15. Why? They didn't ask me what time it was. And a lot of people go to God and say, why does everything bad happen to me? And then they say, I prayed about it, nothing happened. You didn't pray about it. You didn't ask for anything. You just said, ugh. Is that a prayer? Okay? It says, instead of worrying about it and your wallet doesn't fill back up, instead of worrying about it and your hair doesn't grow back, instead of worrying about it and the wayward child doesn't come back, instead of worrying about it and your transmission doesn't get fixed, why don't you pray about it? Why don't you say, Lord, what am I going to do? I need this to happen. I was out praying last night, doing the whole prayer thing and praise and worship and all those things. And I was out in a field in the forest near my house. And then some lady comes, their dog. And you know, here's a bad thing. It's a dark night. I'm out there. Actually, the moon came up later. It's very bright. But you know what happens when somebody comes out of the dark? Doesn't matter if they're praying. You scare them to death. And then their dog comes and tries to eat you. I've had more weird things happen because I pray at night. I have more in abandoned places. You know what happens when you're a 30 or 40-year-old white guy in the Seattle area in an abandoned place by yourself? They think you're a serial murderer. That's what Seattle's full of. You know how many times I've had police come out, I've been on some road back there praying in the middle of nowhere, and here comes a police and Kira signs the line. What are you doing? I'm praying. What's in your trunk? I have been frisked and searched 5 times, I guarantee, by police, checking my trunk for bodies and everything else. And I remember one time my car, it was Family Bible Day the next day. We're giving away family Bibles. My car was full of family Bibles. I was out of McCord on the Air Force Base in the middle of nowhere. Police comes out there. What are you doing here? I'm praying. Can I search your car? I said, sure. I said, you see the Bibles back there? I said, I got about my entire back seat and trunk are full of Bibles. Well, let me look. He digs. He goes through all of them, goes under my seats, checks my whole thing. I said, I already buried the bodies. Don't worry about it. And we're fine. And so I'm out there praying, and here comes the lady with her dog, and I was scared to death and have Fido come attack me and everything. And so I said, Lord, you know what? I really don't want to be distracted by this lady, and I don't want to go in the forest and dodge away from her and get away from this. Will you make her leave? Plan two is start screaming, and then she leaves. But, you know, you go and you pray about everything. Get in the morning and say, Lord, oh, I'm kind of tired this morning. Lord, I pray you'd help me make it through this day. Lord, thank you that I'm alive today. Lord, thank you for coffee. Hallelujah. And Lord, I pray you'd help my car to make it safe to work. And I pray my car to start. And Lord, I pray you'd help me as I go to work today and just keep me safe in the way and help me to keep close to you. And boy, Susie drives me crazy. Lord, help her to work on the other side of the office today. And I mean, just pray about everything. God cares about everything in your life. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Do not worry about everything. It's not going to fix anything. I remember talking to Alto and Luke, our Haitian men. And they come from Haiti. Tough country. Rough country. And they tell me, they take me aside because they think I'm not like most Americans. They say, Pastor, why do Americans worry so much? Everything's so safe here. Everything's so good here. Everything's so nice here. They worry about everything. They're more worried than Haitians. Said, you're singing to the choir. You know where your next meal is most of the time. You know you got a roof. You know your lights are there. You know that there's police if you call them. You're not like the Cormiers. And you're worried about your safety? You aren't in Kenya on an election year. And yet you're as stressed out as... And it's not doing you any good. You know the robber's going to say, oh, you're worried. Never mind. It doesn't do any good. But if you pray about it, he might not make it to you. We're not worried about this van situation. We're not worried about whether we're going to get home safe today. We're not worried about my heart keeping on beating. It's all in God's hands. We prayed about it. And it's just, ready? Take a deep breath. How many of you have something, if you want to worry, you got ammo to worry with, if you want to worry? Quit. Relax. Pray about it. It says in everything. Where do you want to place your burdens? You have a choice. On one side over here is in you place your burdens in your mind and in your heart, and you carry those burdens in worry. And this bucket over here is full of stress, and pretty soon you get snappy at people you love, and pretty soon it just and pretty soon you're gonna get paralyzed and discouraged. You can place it there if you want, or you can go and the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you, and say, Lord, I'm kind of worried about my health, and Lord, this issue's coming up. I don't know what to do with it, Lord. I've done everything I'm supposed to do, and I can't do anything else about it. I'm not going to worry about it anymore, God. I'm giving it to you. And then what you do is you leave it there. And you go, it's a wonderful day. You know what? I'm saved today. My heart's beating right now. I'm alive. I've got air. I've got friends. I'm going to heaven. My life's good. I got an awesome church. I got an awesome pastor. I've got everything going for me. Man, I've got it blessed. And somebody says, what about the... That's in God's hands right now. I'm not worried about it. I promise you, you've seen me when I had a lot of things to be stressed out about. And you didn't know it because I wasn't stressed. I've been taking Peter out with me on Saturdays. Peter's things I could worry about and burdens I pick up with throughout a day in there. Weights from other people's burdens. I've got a big family. I've got a lot of things to take care of. I've got a lot. You know what? Life's too short for me to live stressed out. If I get stressed out, my hair is going to fall out. And I don't want that to happen. And if I get stressed, what are you laughing about? And if I get stressed out, I'm not going to be as good a pastor, dad, Christian. You know, I'm not going to, and by the way, I'm telling God, I don't trust you with this stuff. Now, don't take this message and say, just pray about it and don't do your job. No, you don't go to work and you're not going to get paid and you're going to be in trouble. You're mean to your family and you say, God, help them to love me anyway. That's not what I'm talking about here. You be responsible. You do what you're supposed to do. Then you leave the rest in God's hands and you rest. And you say, I'm not strong enough to do what I'm supposed to do. Then you go, God, I am not strong enough to do what I'm supposed to do. I pray for you to give me the strength I need to do that. You pray about everything. It says, spread your requests to be known unto God. Pray about it. Pray about it. Where do you want to leave that burden? It's going to take some time for God to fix everything. It's going to take some time for you to learn to do this, but you've got to begin the process of praying about everything. And by the way, it's okay to make your requests known. Look at what it says there at the end of the verse. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. If I was single, and all of a sudden I met my wife, and all of a sudden some other man started trying to woo her, I would not worry about it because he stands no chance. And I would not worry about it. I would say, Lord, I really want to be married to her. And Lord, you love me, right? And Lord, you know what? I'm tired of being alone. You know what? I'd pray just like that. You can pray. Let your request be made. God says, what's your request? You say, God, I'm tired of driving a junker. I pray for a new car. Fine. Nothing wrong with it. Asking you shall receive, seeking you shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. I think what I'm not saying if you pray, Lord, kill my boss and let me get all his money. I don't think God's going to do that. I understand that. But what you can do is you can pray about everything and let your requests be made known to God and tell him your requests, not just your burdens, not just your basic needs, but let your requests. Lord, I really like this. I like this to get settled. Lord, I like this blessing. And tell him. He's your father. He doesn't mind you. He wants to talk to you. And praise him and worship him and spend time with him. All that stuff. Walk with God and spend time with him. It's going to take you some time. You've got to set aside time to really pray about everything. You pray throughout the day and then on alone time, you've got to take the time to pray. Without it, you will continue to live a stressed out life the rest of your life. Your life will be easier and better if you'll really pray. The time that you think you don't have is spent trying to put out the fires that you have because you don't pray. You don't have time to pray because your life's a mess because you do not take time to pray. Give God your best time, spend the time in prayer, and be with God, and give him your requests, and give him your burdens, and cast all your care upon him, and don't worry about things, and as soon as the worry comes, pray about it. I've had something dogging my mind for 3 days. And it's something that I don't need dogging my mind. It just keeps on coming back. I don't know if it's Satan. I don't know if it's my mind. I don't know what it is. It just keeps on coming back. And I, every 15 minutes, I've had to say, Lord, I'll give you this thing. I'm not going to worry about it anymore. And it pops back up, and I give it to him again. I give it to him again. That happens sometimes. But every time if you give it to God, eventually you'll get peace from it. Eventually, you'll get the answers from it, and you'll get to do these things. You've got to let your requests be made known to God. God does not mind people asking for things they want. I read you just a couple passages, and you don't need to turn there, but just where people just ask for what they want. What do you want? Whatsoever you desire in prayer, ask, and you shall receive. God says, let your request, that's what you want. It's request hour, and you can let God know what you want. And I'm going to read a couple of verses. These are in both in 1 Chronicles. I just picked a couple passages where somebody just said, I want this, God. And God said, okay, because they just asked for it. And 1 Chronicles 4, 9 and 10. And Jabez is more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand would be upon me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. His request, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my coast and give me these things. I said, yeah, I'll give you that. God says, I will never hear you pray and give you a bad thing. He might not give you everything you ask for, but he says, if a son asks for a piece of bread, will a father give him a stone? If he asks for food, will his father give him a serpent? No. Your father loves you. If you pray, he's happy. He's not going to give you a bad thing. He might not give you something that's bad for you, like we do on Treasure Hunt. He might not do that. That was funny. But he will go. I'm very funny today. You really ought to understand that. And he might not do that. Okay, next week is Asparagus Sunday and stuff. But we go and God is not going to give you, you prayed about this. I'm going to give you lightning bolts. God's for you. He wants to bless you. He's not going to give you a bad thing. So there's no harm in asking for it. Ask the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. That'll take a miracle. And pray about it. Hey, they won Monday night. They didn't win that one either. And God helped them win. Packer fans. But, you know, ask for everything. Let your requests be made known to God. And ask him about it. God given his request. 1 Chronicles chapter 5. Another people, this person just prayed about it. Verse 20. And they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered in their hand, and they were with them, for they cried unto God in battle, and he was entreated of them because they put their trust in him. Pray about it. Replace your worry with prayer, and you will find peace. Let's go back to Philippians 4 and show you how God says that. So which one do you want? You want worry or peace? Because that's your choice. Worry or peace? Because that's that wonderful phrase in the Bible, the peace that passes all understanding, is in this verse, in this passage. Verse 6, Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but with everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. I want to get ahead of myself, but I'm not going to. One thing it qualifies in your prayer there, very, 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 very important here. One thing it qualifies in your prayer there, thanksgiving. Good prayer is, Lord, I thank you I have food today. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But Lord, I pray you'd supply my needs. That's a good prayer. A bad prayer is, Lord, what am I going to do tomorrow? Not thanking him for what he gave you today. He says, in your prayer, make sure you're coming to the thanksgiving attitude. If my child walked up to me and said, Dad, you never give us enough stuff, and I want you to give me this because you never give me enough. Do you think I'm going to give them anything? But if my child walks up and sits in my lap and says, you are such a wonderful daddy. And you always take such good care of us. But Dad, I'd really like you to take me to Dairy Queen today. I always put those requests where I get a good part of it. And they do it with thankfulness. If they gripe already about what they, I'm not going to give them. Listen, they don't appreciate what they have. If you're a foolish parent and give your kids more when they don't appreciate what they already have, if you think giving them more is going to make them happy, you don't know much about life. Come with thanksgiving to God. And thank him. Well, I don't have anything to be thankful for. You are blind. Oh, by the way, if you're not blind, you have something to be thankful for. If you can see, if you ate today, if your sink will turn on and give you water. Not everybody in this room has that. If you can go and walk and talk and hear, not everybody in this room can hear. If you're saved, not everybody's saved. If you got heaven as your home, if you live in a free country, and if you don't think America is a blessed, good country to live in, you don't know what you're talking about. With thanksgiving, come to God and say, Lord, I don't deserve all the blessings you've already blessed me with. Thank you. I can see and walk and talk and hear, and I'm free and not a slave. And Lord, thank you for providing my food for today. I don't know what I'm going to do tonight, but I pray. God's much more likely to answer thankful people's prayers. And what happens when you replace worry for prayer? Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. What happens? Peace replaces worry. And it passes all understanding. Why? Because I've been sitting there and saying, Lord, I don't know what to do about my finances. I am in the negative, and there's a lot of month left. And I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, a peace washed over me. I didn't even get the money I needed. But a peace came that doesn't make sense. It passes understanding. And that keeps your heart, which is your emotion and how you feel. Your feelings don't go crazy. You don't get hopeless. And your mind, it keeps your mind so you don't go crazy. And you're peaceful. And it passes all understanding. And God says the peace that passes understanding is for those who pray about everything in thankfulness. If I pray about everything, it's going to take a long time. Yeah, you got to spend more time in prayer than we do. You have to. What's going to happen in the elections? No idea. Not too worried about it. Well, if the wrong person gets elected or gets reelected, we're going to die. You know what? I got a real big God who can take care of me. Doesn't matter if it's a Democrat or Republican. He's pretty big. And by the way, I understand how irresponsible the spending is in Washington. I understand all that stuff. But you know what? Lord, you put him in charge. Take care of us. And you know what? If the economy collapses and our government collapses, I got a God still. My God shall supply all your needs. So why are you worried about it so much? You get all worked up about everything. It's like somebody watches the stock market every day, and one day you're stressed out, and one day you're excited, but I better sell it quick. And relax. Life is short, and eternity is long. You got to walk with God. That's the whole walk with God, spending time with Him. You've got to spend time giving God your burdens, telling Him how you feel, thanking Him, praising Him, worshiping Him. Let your requests be made known. And when you go, and as we sing in Sunday school, and He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other is ever known. When you really get a walk with God, you have peace. It is well with my soul. But you know how much high blood pressure is out there? You know how many people are stressed out and worried and angry and snapping at everybody and getting on antidepressants and everything else because they can't just quit worrying and give it to God and leave it there. He's big enough to handle it. Don't try to take it back. Do your part and pray about everything. That means you're going to have to take some time to pray and throughout the day pray about everything. And don't worry. Quit worrying. Be happy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let's pray. Father, the lesson is fairly simple. Rejoice in you always. Don't worry. Pray about everything. And you'll give us peace. It's right there in those three verses. I pray today we do it. I pray today that our stressed society, that Lord, as I go to the third world and say, they are a lot happier and less worried than we are. And they don't know where the next meal is coming. I pray we learn not to be control freaks and stress freaks and worry, worry, worry. Because we have a Savior who loves us and who died for us. And we got heaven as our home if we're saved. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The foundation of this is knowing that God